I thank the Lord for that song tonight.
Yes, indeed.
The scripture says, when I am weak, then am I strong.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I've depended on that verse. There's another place I remember it said, I think it was Jehoshaphat, I might be wrong, in Chronicles, and he was afraid of the battle. And the Lord said, Fear thou not, this battle's mine.
Yes.
And he told him to go ahead and go out. But he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They still had to go out and face the battle, but he said, I'll fight the battle for you.
Yes.
And when they got out there, they won the battle. When they started to sing and praise the Lord, it said that the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. So I'm thankful tonight that, as this song brought out, there are times we may feel lonely. We may feel like we're over our head, because we are. But the Lord has promised to go with us. And I appreciate that tonight. Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Finally, when all is done, at the end of the day, at the end of all of the responsibilities we have in life, given all of the decisions that you have to make, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus also said that only one thing is needful. It's the only way to live and it's the only way to die. I want to live that way.
Yes.
This evening I'm encouraged to choose salvation without reservation.
Yes.
That's my message this evening. I believe it was Joshua in his dying exhortation. He said, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Whether the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, choose who you want to serve. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
And I'm encouraged tonight, without reservation, to commit to this way. I don't want to be in the middle. I don't want to be undecided. I don't want to be on the fence. I want, without reservation, to commit my life to the Lord. Seems like that we live in a world with so many choices, so many options, that sometimes we can become paralyzed with indecision. Have you ever been there? You know, there's so many places to eat. I don't know about you, but if you're on a trip, this has happened in our family before. If you're on a trip and you've got time to eat, you say, well, what are you hungry for? Well, you look around and there can be sometimes restaurants on every corner. And you look at all those, and by the time you get done, you're at the end of the road and nobody knows what they want to eat. If there'd just be one McDonald's on the corner, everybody'd know where we were going to go eat. Wouldn't have all of these decisions. But we live in a world where no matter what it is, clothes, food, houses, phones, gadgets, there are so many options that we can become paralyzed with indecision. And then we spend so much time trying to evaluate the opportunity cost or what it is that we think that we're giving up by choosing this thing instead of this thing, that we find that we can't make a clear choice. Or we're always looking over our shoulder, worrying about what it is that we've just given up. Or sometimes we try to have a little bit of everything. We try to figure out how we can have it all. Have you ever gone to three restaurants in the same night? Have bread at one restaurant, salad at the next, and dessert at maybe a third one. Sometimes we can do that. We can have so many options that there we are. I think that's one reason why the buffet lines came into being. You don't have to stop with two or three. You can eat the whole thing if you want. And I don't think that did a whole lot for America, actually, because there's consequences to that, too. But when it comes to salvation and discipleship, I don't want to be paralyzed with indecision. I don't want to be caught in the middle. I don't want to live my life where I'm looking over my shoulder, worrying about what it is that I might have just given up.
No.
I don't want to be like Lot's wife,
no,
who was fleeing to the mountains and turned behind her to look back at what it was that she was leaving.
Yes.
She turned to a pillar of salt. Her end wasn't very good. I want to choose God, and I want to have a singular focus. I don't want to get my eyes off of the end goal, and I don't want to go through life worrying about what it is that I may have given up.
No.
I want to choose Jesus in an unwavering manner. I want to make haste about it.
Amen.
And I don't want to look behind me. I'd like to read a story tonight. I think it's a story that everybody likes. I don't know of anybody that doesn't like this story. In the 19th chapter of Luke, it said, and we'll start at the first verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, this story starts out, and it started out talking about a man that seemed to have a reputation to protect.
Yes.
In my mind, he said he was the chief of the publicans, and he was rich. That's how it describes Zacchaeus. I don't think he was out to protect his reputation of integrity, because I don't know that he had a lot of integrity. You read the story, I don't think people thought a whole lot of his integrity.
No.
I don't think that he was trying to protect his reputation of character.
No.
I'm not sure that he had a lot of character up until this point. I don't think he was worried about protecting the Lord's reputation and wanting to make sure that he didn't misrepresent who the Lord was.
No.
I don't think that's what it was that Zacchaeus may have run into. It doesn't say here. I don't know what all was in Zacchaeus' heart. But he was human. And I know that by this story, there was a time where he was cheating people so that he could get more money to become rich, because his heart was set on some things that weren't things above. And so those things were important to Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus was, but he might have been trying to protect a temporal reputation, a fleshly reputation. Problem was, there was a conflict that arose. Because on one hand, there was Zacchaeus, the chief of publicans. Zacchaeus, the chief of publicans. There was Zacchaeus, the rich man. He was the rich man. But there was also Zacchaeus who wanted to see Jesus.
Yes.
See? There was Zacchaeus the publican, Zacchaeus the rich, but there was Zacchaeus, it said here, that wanted to see Jesus.
Yes.
And the problem was that he couldn't because of the press. Seems like that word keeps popping up in this meeting. It always seems like something that gets in our way to see Jesus. It always seems like there's something that will hinder us from getting a hold of God like we want to get a hold of the Lord. And that's what happened here with Zacchaeus. Looked like he was too short to see over the crowd. Maybe he was too small to push through. And Zacchaeus could have said, well, I wanted to see Jesus, but unfortunately, I just wasn't made the right way. I was given this spot in life, and as much as I'd like to see Jesus, I can't. Just like the man that made a door through the top of the roof that we talked about earlier this week. He could have said, I wanted to see Jesus, but the door is blocked and would have gone back home. Zacchaeus could have said the same thing. We run into that a lot of times in life.
Yeah.
And I want to just encourage us tonight that when we face situations like that in life, don't stop and go home.
Yes.
Don't give up.
Yes.
Don't be discouraged. Don't feel like that, well, somehow I'm just unique from everybody else. Everybody else can seem like they can get a hold of the things of the Lord, but I'm just different, and I'm not able to do it. The enemy would love to squash us down. The enemy would love to find reasons for you to think that you're unique and different from everybody else and can't have an experience of salvation. That is a lie of the enemy. Every person in here, and I, by the Lord's help, I've tried to communicate that over the course of this meeting. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your background, no matter your DNA, no matter the sins of the past, God has a plan to lift you up. God has a plan to get you in touch with Him. And I suspect maybe at the start, Zacchaeus, when he was trying to figure out how he could protect his reputation and see Jesus, maybe he looked up and saw the tree. And maybe he had a fleeting thought went through his mind. Hey, I could climb the tree. Then I could see Jesus. And maybe just as quick the thought came, well, wait a minute, if I climb the tree, what are people going to think about me? I'm the chief of publicans. Right? But he climbed the tree anyway. He did it anyway. Regardless of what other people were going to think, Zacchaeus was willing to climb the tree. The man was willing with his friends to climb on top of a house that wasn't theirs and tear apart a roof and make a door where there wasn't a door. Zacchaeus was willing to find some way to become taller when there seemed to be no way to become taller. I want to ask you this question again tonight. Ask it earlier in the meeting. What doors are you willing to create? What trees are you willing to climb? How much out of the way are you willing to go to see Jesus? I believe that the power comes when we start acting. Instead of looking at our weaknesses and worrying about all of the things that look like stand between us and the Lord, God wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to be willing to step into the water to get over to the Canaan land. God created the Canaan land for His people. It flowed with milk and honey. You remember that they sent the spies over there. I'm not sure how they got over the river that first time. But they went over there, and when they came back, most of them said, it's just like you said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And it's wonderful over there. Just one problem. There's giants over there. We're not going to be able to go. I'm so glad that didn't stop them. I'm so glad there were still some people that said, wait a minute, we're well able to do this. We serve a God that can help us defeat these giants that are bigger than we are. You say, well, these battles are bigger than I are. Yes, they are. That's why Jesus came. That's why He said, fear not, I'll go with you. I'll fight the battle. He wants us to be committed to His way regardless of what we face. He had the Canaan land prepared for them. Had it all spread out. They got all the way up to the Jordan River. Now they had to cross. But there was a problem. There was a river separating them. What if they would have said, well, we came as far as we could go. Guess we can't come any further. They'd still be wandering around in the wilderness. Do you know when the waters parted? Was it when the Lord said, all right, it's time to go over into Canaan land? Is that when the waters parted?
No.
When did the waters part? It's when they stepped into the water.
Yes.
God wants us to get up and step into the water.
Yes.
Step out in faith. Yes. Be committed to this way.
Yes.
Don't look at it and say, well, I don't know how I'm going to do that. You'll sit at home your whole life worrying about how you're going to be the kind of Christian you should be.
That's right.
You'll look at your inadequacies and say, how can I do that? Step into the water.
Yes.
The Lord didn't say, as soon as you decide in your mind, I'll give you all the grace, all the strength that you need. He said, you believe on me. Follow me. Trust me. Don't fear. I'll give you the land. The walls of Jericho didn't fall down after the Lord gave them the plan. The walls fell down after they followed what God told them to do. God wants you to be willing to step into the waters that maybe you've been afraid to step in before. You say, well, what people are going to think about me? Where am I going to be left? How am I going to reach out and be a Christian? How can I possibly give this up? Sometimes we're taken with addictions that other people don't know anything about. And oh, we want the victory over it so much.
Yes.
But we're so afraid to step into the water and say, Lord, I'm committed to this. I'm going to go this way. You have my heart, Lord. You can trust me in this. I'm going to step into the water. Instead, we stand back sometimes and say, well, whenever I can get power over it, then maybe I can step out and be a Christian. Listen, God is the one that has the power to enable you to do that. He wants you to step into the water first and trust Him with those things. Be committed to this way. That's where the power was. What was the result when Zacchaeus took that step and climbed up into the tree? I want to tell you something. He left his reputation behind on the ground. He climbed up into the tree, and the result was he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus, and salvation came to his house, and Jesus called him by name, just like Jesus is doing to you and to me tonight. He comes by and He calls our names. I like to think about Zacchaeus looking down the road and he saw Jesus coming and thought, well, you know what? I wonder what tree I can climb up in. You know, this one over here looks like it might work. So Zacchaeus climbs up in the tree and the Lord keeps getting closer and closer and He's got the crowd all around Him. And lo and behold, Jesus stops right under the tree Zacchaeus is in. What a coincidence! I mean, of all the trees, of all the places that Jesus could have stopped, He stopped right where Zacchaeus was. And I can just see Zacchaeus thinking, wow, this is my lucky day. The Lord stopped right where I can see Him. I'm going to get a really good view of Jesus today. And about that time, his heart stopped because Jesus looked up. And He made eye contact with Zacchaeus. And then He called him by name.
Yes,
called him by name. Jesus knows my name?
Yes.
Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house today. And Zacchaeus came down from the tree and he made haste. And he went to his house. And he voluntarily went the second mile. He got to his house. And he was just a happy man. Jesus was at his house. This was exactly what he wanted. And he said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've done anything wrong, what did he say? By false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold. You know what I notice here? Zacchaeus didn't say, Lord, I'd really like to be saved. Just exactly how much do I have to give back? Lord, I may have wronged some folks in the past. Do I have to give them back what I took wrongly with interest? Or is it okay if I just give back what I shouldn't have taken? You know, that's not what Zacchaeus did.
No, it's not.
The Lord didn't even have to tell Zacchaeus what he needed to do. Zacchaeus, he had so much of the Lord filling his heart, he didn't want there to be any question whatsoever about the wrong in his past. He was going to put that one to bed. And he just told the Lord, half of my goods are going to the poor. I'm going to restore fourfold. And you know, I don't think it was just lip service, because the Lord said, salvation has come to your house this day. And I want to pause here and challenge you with this. When you give your life to the Lord, go all the way.
Yes.
Don't see how, Lord, just exactly what do I have to do? Go all of the way with the Lord. Don't put some walls of protection up between you and the world.
Yes.
Do you remember we talked about Lot earlier in the meeting? When the Lord's judgment came down on Sodom, do you remember what all was destroyed? Was it just Sodom and Gomorrah? What was it? The plains were destroyed too. Where was it that it said Lot went in the first place? Put his tent out there in the plains facing Sodom and Gomorrah. But when they were getting ready, the Lord said, you all need to flee for the mountains. Because he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed the plains. He destroyed everything that was around it. And what I want to encourage you tonight is, flee for the mountains. If you're going to serve the Lord, commit without reservations and don't see how close to the world you can get and still be saved. I don't want to be anywhere close to where the Lord's presence is not abiding. The plains were destroyed too. Set up some walls of protection. If the Lord comes along and He deals with you in an area of your life, be willing to say, yes, Lord, and get rid of it.
Yes.
Don't see how close you can go to it. That's when you will have joy in your heart. That's when the Lord doesn't have to say, I think you need to go a little farther. Jesus Himself went a little further in the garden.
Yes.
It said He went a little farther. It said He told God, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever it takes, Lord. And He went a little farther. I want to be willing to go a little farther. I want to commit in a way where the Lord can say, that's one of my servants right there. I don't have to worry about them. There's no problem distinguishing which side he's on. He has committed without reservation. Let's read what happened to Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus did that, when he told that to the Lord, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to your house.
Yes.
This is the day of salvation for you. And I'd like to reinforce tonight. I'd like to reinforce what led to this life transformation. The first thing that happened was Zacchaeus made a clear choice for the Lord. God wants you to make a clear choice tonight.
Yes, He does.
As long as the enemy can keep you in the middle, he's got you right where he wants you. God wants us to make a clear choice. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. I think of Elijah when he was out there, remember, with the prophets of Baal? And he was out there and they were getting ready to have this little discussion. And Elijah told them, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord is Baal, well then serve Baal. But if the Lord is God, serve God. Let me ask you this. Do you believe in God tonight?
Yes,
I do. Do you believe in the Word that it's true?
Yes.
Do you believe that there's anything wrong with the Word of the Lord? We say, no, we believe it. Then what hinders us? If it's really God, the Creator, and we're really going to meet Him at the end, then why would we hold back? Why would we halt between two opinions? God, help us tonight to make a clear choice for the Lord. He then exercised humility. Zacchaeus did. He was willing to do whatever it took. If it meant climbing up in a tree, getting his robes caught up in the branches and his, hair getting caught up in the leaves and people looking at them saying, what are you doing up there? Why did you have to do that? I thought you were the chief of the publicans. Couldn't you have just scheduled a meeting? But you're up there in a tree somewhere trying to look down at. You must not be as important as we thought you were. Zacchaeus was willing to exercise humility. Didn't matter to him what other people thought. There might have been those that came by and said, what are you doing up there? Well, I want to see Jesus. Well, you're going a little bit far for that. That's not necessary to see Jesus to do that. Be willing to do that tonight.
Yes.
After he exercised humility, he made haste.
Yes.
Zacchaeus made haste. When the Lord speaks to your heart, make haste. We've talked about it in the meeting. Don't delay. Don't defer action. Don't be like Felix who said, when I have a more convenient season, maybe I'll call for thee. Don't do that. Don't allow the tree to be empty that you ought to be in. When the Lord comes by and you have opportunity, be there. I don't want the Lord to walk by a tree that He gave me opportunity to climb so that I could see Him. And when He got there and looked up, I wasn't there. I don't want that to take place with me. I thought earlier in here when we read, it said, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And I have written in my Bible, this was Jericho's opportunity. Because Jesus passed through. When Jesus passes by, take advantage of the opportunity. When His conviction passes by, be there to respond with haste. I know that the Lord is a loving God. And I know that He passes by many times. But I want to say this too. He's God and I'm the created. He's the Creator. I'm the created. And I have a hard time forgetting about the verse that says, God shall not always strive with man.
Right.
How many times are you going to turn him away? Sometimes we can presume upon the grace of God. And we can have conviction come in and we can feel like, well, the Lord's a loving God. I can get saved any time that I want. It's almost like we think we can just ring the bell. And when we ring the bell, the Lord's going to just be right there to do whatever it is. You may not feel like ringing the bell. You see, that's the danger.
Yes.
Conviction comes from God.
Yes.
God is the one that'll come along and put conviction on your heart. Why would you want to take the chance of turning away the opportunities that God gives us, not make haste to respond, and then just assume that the Lord's going to come whenever you're ready? He may come and it might be the last time.
That's right.
I want to make haste.
Yes.
When God gives me opportunity, I want to take advantage of it. Finally tonight, the other thing that Zacchaeus did was he did more than just words. He did more than lip service. Zacchaeus didn't just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm so happy you came to my house today. I want to be saved. Zacchaeus took action. Zacchaeus took action. He said, I'm going to have a changed life. I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to change the way he's going to have to change the way he's going to live. If he's going to give half of what he had away, and he's going to give four times to everybody that he took from, and everybody else recognized he was a sinner, that might have been a pretty high price. But he said, I'm willing to do it. He took action. And I'm often challenged with when Moses came down the mountain. Do you remember when Aaron, when they made the golden calf, remember, Moses came down the mountain and he saw all that what was going on. Well, he was very distraught and he was ready to do some serious business with those folks. And do you remember what Moses asked him? He wasn't happy. He had just heard the Lord getting ready to destroy all of them. He came down and understood the anger of the Lord. And he said, all right, all of you that are for the Lord, come stand over here. And he did not ask for a show of hands. Moses had them get up from where they were. And they had to move away from where they were. And come and be counted for the Lord.
Yes.
You don't get to just stay mingled in with the way of no change. The way of the Lord is a way of change. It's a wonderful change.
Yes, it is.
But it is change. And God is asking us to step into the water and to move away from the wilderness that we're in. He has something different for us than manna. He has the Canaan land to give us. And He has something different from the world to give us. The Lord's saying, if you're going to follow Me, you're going to have to be willing to separate yourself from where you've been living. You don't get to just keep living. And the Levites got up. They stood up from where they were. They removed themselves. Don't you know that might have been hard in some ways? They might have been leaving some people that said, look, if we're done with that, if you separate from us, that's the end of our friendship.
Yeah.
Well, it might have been the end of their friendship. But I'll tell you, their end wasn't very good. Moses said, whoever is for the Lord, come stand over here. And there was a line drawn in the ground somehow. And those that said, we'll serve God, they stood on that side. And then after that happened and everybody took their sides, Moses sent them out. And there were a lot of people that met a very untimely death that day.
Yes, sir.
It's going to happen the same for us.
Yes.
If we decide that we are going to just sit back in the crowd. Well, I'm still thinking about it. Well, I don't want to make any quick moves. I don't want to do anything rash. And it's an excuse to stay in the world and not commit without reservation. That's not where I want to be when the Lord comes back. I want to be willing to make a clean and clear break. I want to come forward as the Levites did and say, Lord, I'm standing securely on Your side. And I wonder tonight where we would all be. How would the Lord categorize us? If we were to be categorized on one of the two sides, where would we be categorized tonight? I want to have a life that goes beyond words. I want it to go beyond just a testimony of words. I want the Lord to be able to look down and say, no, there's fruit coming out of His life. If our roles would have been reversed with Zacchaeus in this story, would it have ended up the same? Would you have gone up in the tree? Would you have been willing to commit to the Lord of a changed life? Would He have said, salvation has come to your house today? In fact, tonight, how is your story going? How are things going for you? You see, the fact of the matter is, the Lord is passing by your way.
Yes, He is.
The Lord is passing by your way. And there's hindrances and there is the press between you and the Lord, just like there was here. And there are also options for you to take advantage of or not. The Lord, He'll put trees in your path to climb up if you really want to see Him. He'll make a way. He'll find you. He'll stop. He'll call your name. He'll look into your eyes. He'll say, I'm going to go to your house today because He wants you saved. But how's it going for you? Has He passed your way? Did He stop because you wanted Him to? Have you invited Him to your house? Have you made haste? Tonight, look for the trees and rise above the press. Look for the high places. Look for where you can demonstrate to the Lord, Lord, I am committing to You tonight without reservation. Be numbered with the number of those that have committed with all of their hearts and surrendered everything. Don't be in the between place. Don't be paralyzed with inaction. Don't live your life with good intentions. Take action. Step into the water. The Lord has a Canaan land for you. For you. He knows your name. He's calling your name. Tonight, make a clear decision for the Lord. Be willing to humble yourself before the Lord. Make haste. Don't delay and defer action, but rather take action. And if you do, the Lord will come to your house too. And you too can go away and say, salvation came to my house today. May the Lord bless each one of you tonight. I want to commit without reservation to the Almighty God, and I want to live my life so that at any time I can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. No matter what I'm doing, no matter what the time of the day is, no matter if it's at night, no matter if I'm by myself or with a group of people, I can have the testimony to say, even so, given all that's going on right now, come, Lord Jesus, I want to be true. Pray for me.